is to share with you guys. And so if I can just share a story with you guys this morning. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and you know, pastors always say that, and in reality, we have a lot of favorite stories in the Bible because there's so many good ones, right? But I love stories. I'm not a huge reader, but when I do get into a good book, man, I cannot put it down. I love getting caught in like a good story and then just spacing out for like a day as you just read through, or you know, over Christmas holidays or things like that, sitting down on the couch and just watching through a Lord of the Rings marathon or Star Wars or what have you. Because I love getting caught in a good story. And one of my, I love movies. You know, one of my favorites is this one that came out a few years ago called The Prestige. Anyone ever seen that one? Yeah, it's a killer cast. You got like Hugh Jackman, you got Christian Bale, Michael Caine, all these good actors in there. But the story is about these two illusionists or magicians, you know. And they're kind of like these rivals in town. They're constantly trying to kind of upstage each other, you know, with you know, who's got the better act and who's going to come out in front. And there's this line that comes up throughout the movie, and it's a fun one because it kind of ties into the real kind of twist at the end of the movie. And there's this line, and it says, just as this opening slide says, it always says, "Are you watching closely?" You know, and that's kind of the key to a lot of these like magic tricks or illusion things that we see. I have a friend who's a great magician, illusionist as well. And if you watch closely when people do these tricks, you know, sometimes you can kind of figure out how they do it, right? I'm not very observant. And so when I watch them, I'm always just blown away. Like you can do the same trick on me 100 times and I probably won't figure it out. But if you are watching closely and you really pay attention, sometimes you can catch little things that show you how it's done, you know? And when you look at the life of Jesus and the stories in the Bible that we see of Jesus, there's all these interesting things that he does that, you know, some people might call them like magic tricks or illusions or just we would call them miracles in the church, you know? But as we look through these stories and as we see Jesus do these things, sometimes I find that if you're watching closely, There's these life lessons and there's these principles that we can apply as we endeavor to follow him. And so I want to just share one of those quick stories with you this morning. It's found in the book of Matthew, if you've got your Bible on you. That's great. I have my Bible. My delightful Dublin has, you know, they say that the Bible is the bread of life, you know? That's one of the things. I think Dublin took that a little too literally one time, and she took a big bite out of my Bible, but I'll be reading from the paperback version. But if you have, if you don't have one, it's going to be on the screen for you. And it's found in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. It says that large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. "Lord," the man said, "if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest, let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." Such a cool story. And I love it. It's beautiful. And because if you are watching closely, there's actually some really cool details in here. That there's something big at work here. And so I wanna just take a little magnifying glass and go through this story a little bit with you this morning. And I mean, if you pay attention, just in verse 1 there, it says that large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Now, if you just look a couple chapters before this, you know that Jesus was up on this mountainside, as it says, and he was doing some serious ministry. Like, we're talking like the Sermon on the Mount. Most of you have probably heard of the Sermon on the Mount. This is where we get like a lot of our sermons as pastors, right? You've got like the Beatitudes. Man, you could preach a whole sermon series for like 2 months on the Beatitudes. You know, you've got the Lord's Prayer. another sermon series waiting to happen. All these like really foundational truths and teachings of Jesus you find packed into like just these couple of chapters that he's up on this mountainside teaching that what's probably thousands of people. And so Jesus is just coming down from this mountainside, and it says that crowds followed him, right? Like Jesus has been doing some serious ministry. He's probably done some healings at this point and cast some demons out of people, and like word is spreading, right? Like this is pre-social media. This is pre-internet. This is pre-telephone, everything technology. Yet somehow the word is getting out about who this Jesus guy is. There's murmurings. People are wondering, could this be the Messiah that we've been waiting for? I don't know, but man, I got to see what's going on. And so people are coming from all over the countryside to see this guy Jesus do his thing. And so you can imagine it would be pretty tight and pretty crowded that as Jesus is coming down from this intense, rigorous day of ministry, there's these crowds all around him. Man, I can imagine if I was Jesus, I'd be like, I just want to take a nap. You know, like, you know, I've been preaching my heart out. I've been doing some miracles. This is all good. But man, I need to get a nap. You know, maybe you can relate when you've had a long day at work and you come home and, you know, your kids are just like, hey, daddy, play with me. Or you know, you got to cook dinner or you got to clean the house or, you know, bathe the kids, put them to bed. And you just want to just like get that 5 minutes of quiet on the couch. And, you know, just have some me time. You know, when I come home from work, you know, I have to drive a little bit to get to the office in the morning, and then on the way home, there's usually traffic, and, you know, after a long day at work, like, I don't even have kids to come home to, but it's kind of crazy, because I walk in the door, and that little black Cocker Spaniel, Lennon, he comes around the corner, and, you know, he's got this tail that just, like, it's kind of like the tail that wags the dog. You know, he can't really run in a straight line when he's excited, because he's just kind of like, I could really sell that a little more, but it would be a little provocative for this crowd. So, but like Lennon comes around the corner and he's just excited to see you. If he hasn't gone to the bathroom, he usually does when I come in the door because he's just so excited to see me. And I'm just like, man, I have this arrangement with my wife, Bernine, where when I come in the door, a lot of times I'll say hello, but I just kind of need to like recalibrate a little bit. And so we have this agreement that I can just steal away to our room for like 5-10 minutes, just close my eyes, maybe have a quick cat nap, and then come back, you know. So I come, Lennon's there wagging and doing his thing, then I just go see Bernine, you know, give her a little kiss and say, hey, I'm going to go take a nap. Is that cool? Okay, sounds good. And it's usually not long after I've laid down and I'm just resting my eyes that all of a sudden, bam! Here comes Lennon again, jumping up on the bed, waking me up and just looking for this attention. And I can imagine that like this is kind of how Jesus might be feeling at this point. You know, he's like, he's had a long day or a couple of days, you know, and all of a sudden people just won't let you down or won't let you alone. And then it says that suddenly this guy shows up right in his path, right? And this isn't just an ordinary person. Says that this guy is a leper. Now, a lot of us probably know what leprosy is or what it means to be a leper. But if you don't know, this is actually very important to the story. And if you're not looking closely, you kind of miss a very important piece of the story. See, leprosy is this disease. And it can be a fatal disease where you know, it's almost like this flesh-eating type of thing where your body literally starts to like decay and decompose, and eventually it takes over your vital organs and can be fatal. And this was a disease that you saw a lot in the Bible. You read about it, and when you had leprosy, there was very specific rules around how you were supposed to live, because it was believed to be contagious. You know, and so we actually see in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, as we're seeing the law given to Israel, there's actually laws around people with diseases like leprosy. It says this in Leviticus 13. It says, those who suffer from a serious skin disease must tear their clothing and leave their hair uncombed. They must cover their mouth and call out, unclean, unclean. As long as the serious disease lasts, They will be ceremonially unclean. They must live in isolation outside the camp. Actually, you feel reading that, it kind of feels a little bit like getting COVID. Man, maybe we should just bust out Leviticus next time someone, you know. But you can imagine, like, okay, so we're not going to go there. And I promise not to be controversial this morning. It's a privilege that we actually get to meet, you know. Like, the rest of the North got shut down this week, so praise God that we're even here. But aside from that, you know, this is extremely crazy now that you see that as a leper, a guy who's struggling with leprosy, like, visually, this guy who's actually, like, breaking the law. Like, he's not supposed to be there. Like, he has no right to be there. And not only that, it says that he suddenly shows up on the scene. So you see there that they're supposed to kind of, like, announce their presence, like, unclean, unclean. Like, he's not even doing that. Like, this guy is sneaky about it and just all of a sudden shows up in front of Jesus with leprosy, this infectious, contagious disease, potentially fatal. Now, if I'm Jesus and I'm just looking to catch a nap, I'm thinking, like, what in the world is this guy doing? Like, this is crazy. What are you thinking? But as you look closely, you see Jesus' response is so different than that. Jesus reaches out and he touches the man. And he says, I'm willing to heal you, my friend. Be healed. Now, once again, if you're looking closely at this story, it's kind of crazy because, like I said, Jesus reached out and touched the man. Like, that's gross. Like, the guy is falling apart, literally. Like, it's not, oh, my life is falling apart. It's like, no, literally, my life is falling apart. You know? This guy is visually diseased, and it is gross. No one wants to be around him. He's supposed to be nowhere even near to where Jesus is. And he shows up, and he says, Jesus, we don't know how close he got to Jesus. My guess is he knew that he was probably, you know, like, he was breaking the law. So he's probably keeping a bit of safe distance, because even in the wording of how he talks to Jesus and approaches him, he says, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And the statement of Jesus to reach out and potentially even, like, he may have had to actually step towards the man and to say, friend, I'm willing. Be healed. What a statement. What a statement. And Jesus didn't have to do this, right? You see in the life of Jesus that he does tons of miracles. He does tons of healings. And in some of those cases, he doesn't even use his hands. He doesn't even lay his hands on people, right? Like, this guy shows up and he says, Jesus, I got this servant that's at home sick. Can you heal him? And Jesus says, yeah, I'm coming. He said, whoa, I'm a man of, like, I understand how authority works, and I understand that if I tell this person to go here and do this, that they do it because I'm a man of authority. So you don't need to come. Can you just, like, say the word and he'll be healed? And Jesus says, yeah, I understand that. Cool. Your servant's healed. Like, Jesus doesn't need to lay hands on people. He does it all sorts of different ways. There's this other guy where he's blind. You remember this story where the guy's blind and Jesus, like, spits in, you know, the dirt, makes a little mud and, like, wipes it on the guy's face and, like, hey, you're healed. And that's kind of fun. Like, another one where the guy's deaf and Jesus, like, gives him a wet willy and sticks his pinkies in his ears and heals him from his deafness. Like, Jesus does some crazy things. And I don't think it's by accident that in this story, Jesus reaches out and touches this leper. I don't think it's by accident at all. I think Jesus was trying to make a statement to say, hey, you guys thought this guy was unclean. You guys wrote this guy off. This guy was supposed to be an outcast, had no place being anywhere near this crowd. You guys didn't even want to touch him. I'll tell you what, I will reach out. I will make the move towards you, and I will lay my hand on you, and you'll be healed. It's powerful, powerful stuff if you're watching closely. And I think right there in that moment, there's a bigger portrayal of what Jesus actually came to do. You see, that's just like a perfect picture of the gospel. You know, is you and I, my friends, are not all that different than the leper. You know, we are messed up. We have this disease in our lives as well called sin. You know, and the Bible says that the wages of sin eventually lead to death. We too have a fatal disease in our lives. That you know, when you consider the greatness of God, the goodness of God that we sung about this morning, the righteousness, the holiness of God, when you have a moment like in Isaiah 6, when Isaiah, you know, is taken to this throne room experience with God, and all of a sudden he is faced with how imperfect and unclean his life is. Unclean is the actual word that he uses. When you recognize how great and how grand Jesus actually is, you're really faced with how imperfect and how unclean and how diseased your life is with sin and how unworthy you are of sin. Romans 3:23, it's a very popular verse. You know, on the Romans road, as we call it, it says, for everyone has sinned. We all, everyone in this room, even myself included, a district official. We've all sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Like, we all have this disease. But just like in this story, you see that Jesus reaches out and touches the man. He makes the move towards the man, reaches out, touches, and heals him. We see the same thing that in Romans 5:8, it says that God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. That while we were just like that leper, cowering, being like, Jesus, would you please, could you touch my life? Could you heal me? Jesus said, yeah, I'm going to do that. Not just for this leper. I'm going to reach out and I'm going to make the move towards all of mankind. And even though you have done nothing to deserve this gift, I'm going to reach out, I'm going to touch, and I'm going to bring healing to this disease called sin in your life so that you can be with God the Father. It's a beautiful thing. That's the gospel. That's the good news for everyone in this room. If this is your first time in church, or if you're watching online and you just somehow like stumbled upon this stream, you know, that's good news for you too. That you, as diseased and as messed up as you may feel, are loved and you have been reached, that Jesus has reached down into this broken world and touched your life so that you can be healed too. Now, my guess is most of us have probably heard a message very similar to that, you know? So we're not gonna camp out there for too long. But if you're watching what happens next in this story, if you're looking closely, there's something else I think that we can glean from this story. See, Jesus kind of addresses the man after this healing. There's this dramatic experience. And then Jesus tells the man, he says, tell no one about this. Instead, go to the priest, let him examine you. See, there was this ceremonial process that the man was to go through before he was to be officially announced to be clean and to be rid of his disease so that he could be welcomed back into society. But I find it interesting at the beginning of this statement that Jesus says, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone about this. Like, I kind of wish I could have been there, because this is a little bit of me reading into the story a bit. So this might be a little bit of my opinion, but I can't help but wonder, like, why did Jesus have to say that? Don't tell anyone about this. Because we just read in verse 1, like a few verses earlier, that as Jesus was coming down the mountainside, he was like, there's crowds just surrounding him. There's people everywhere, right? And all of a sudden, Jesus heals this guy. I feel like people must have really scattered. As soon as they see this leper, this unclean, dirty outcast show up on the scene, people are like, whoa, come on, I'm out of here, right? And I think there's an interesting principle at work here that all these people wanted to be with Jesus, but as soon as it got kind of gross and kind of uncomfortable, they split. And how often are we the same way in our walk with Jesus? And we want to be with Jesus. We'll sing songs on Sunday morning and we dig in and we take notes to the sermon and everything. But when things get a little awkward and a little uncomfortable, sometimes we peace out on Jesus. When God maybe calls us to be like Jesus in this story, to go to the broken, to go to the diseased, to go to the outcast of society, we kind of like, yeah, I think I'm going to take a hard pass on that, God. Like, I didn't sign up for that, God. And I think that is probably the bigger lesson that a lot of us need to take from this story is that, you know, in following Jesus, he's going to call some of us to some very dark, uncomfortable places. In fact, he probably call all of us to those places if we are properly following him and listening to him. Because he never promised us that following him was an easy journey. He never promised us that following him was a comfortable journey. If you look at his life, it wasn't easy. And then if you follow Jesus, he's going to call you to reach people in this world that are broken, that are not wanted, that are outcasts, that are potentially actually like diseased, literally, just like this man. He's going to call you to those things. And it's in those moments that, you know, when we're all together as a group and we're doing church and it's exciting and the pastor's preaching great or the worship is just, you know, just hitting different on Sunday morning and you're just like, yeah, this is so good. But the truth is, like, following Jesus is so much bigger than this ministry thing that we do on Sunday mornings. It's about what happens, you know, when you step foot out that door and you step foot, you know, out into the world, into your workplace or into, you know, the grocery store or your school, or wherever it is that God calls you to. And just like Jesus, we're called to actually take that step towards it. We're not called to just like sit back and let it come to us. You know, sometimes we're like, oh yeah, God, like, I mean, I'll do it, whatever you bring to me. Yeah, like, God, like, I'll do it. You know, you bring those sick people, I'll pray for them. But God actually calls us to go, right? The Great Commission says to go. It doesn't say to sit and wait. Well, they were supposed to sit and wait for the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, okay? But Jesus said, go, you know? Jesus sent out the 72 disciples to go and do ministry, you know? So as followers of Jesus, this is challenge to be active, to not wait for these awkward, uncomfortable situations, but to actually chase after them, you know? There's a real haunting passage that Jesus shares later on in the book of Matthew in chapter 25. And he kind of is talking about like the end of days that is coming. And he's talking about how, you know, all men and women will be drawn unto him. And you know, there's going to be like this separating of people. He calls it like the sheep and the goats. And yeah, if you know the story, it's actually kind of haunting. Because there's a great challenge that comes with it. He says that, you know, he's going to say to the sheep, he's going to say, hey, come, you've inherited my kingdom. Come on in. Great job. Because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you came to visit me. There's all these things that you did. And these sheep are like, God, when did we see you hungry and thirsty and everything you're talking about? And he says, well, whatever you did to the least of these, you did to me. And he says to the goats, he says, away from me. Away from me. Because, you know, when you saw me hungry, you didn't give me anything to eat. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. Everything that the sheep did, the goats did the exact opposite. They didn't do it. I feel like that's just such a heavy challenge. That just like in this story, we see Jesus reaching out and going to the broken and the marginalized of society, that we as his followers, we are very much called to do the same. And it's an active movement. It's not just a passive, let it come to us. It's like, man, no, we got to go. We got to go and we got to reach into these broken, uncomfortable parts of the world and bring the gospel of Jesus there. So I don't know where you're at today. If maybe there are people in the room and I just scared the pants off of you because you're like, man, this is my first time in church. What's going on? Most of you look like you're pretty regular here. And so maybe this is the challenge that some of us need this morning, that, you know, maybe it's time to get a little more uncomfortable in our faith. Maybe it's time to get a little more active. Stop letting things just come to us, but to actually seek out the lost, to seek out the broken, the diseased, the outcast. You know, this church is a part of some pretty cool things already that I've heard about through Pastor Rob. Get in on some of those things. Get in on some of these ministry opportunities that you have to make a difference in Terrace, in the North, in all of BC, in the world. If you get an opportunity to go on a missions trip, maybe go visit, you know, France and what's going on at the YWAM base there, go do it. Get out there. Start reaching out. There's a whole broken world waiting for it. And if you are, like, you know, maybe you're here and you are new. And maybe, you know, when I touched on that piece earlier about how we're like the leper, and, you know, Jesus reaches out and he brings healing to us. Man, maybe you needed that today. I'd encourage you to come chat with myself, come chat with Pastor Rob or one of the leadership team after the service. We'd love to pray with you. Love to make an introduction between you and Jesus. But can I just pray for you as we conclude? Jesus, man, we thank you for stories like this that are just such a challenge. God, such a challenge for us as we try to be more like you, as we try to change the world, because you've changed our world. God, we thank you that you are able, that you are a God that is not dead, that you are a God that is very much so alive, and that you want to do incredible works in and through us. So God, if we're here today and we just need to be reminded that we're, you know, yeah, we are like the leper, we're messed up, we're diseased, we're whatever. God, would you encourage hearts in the room that need to be encouraged this morning, that there is healing found in you, that you've already come through your son Jesus to bring healing to our broken lives. And God, for those of us who are here and maybe we've just been sitting back and just kind of waiting for faith to happen to us, waiting for these opportunities to come to us, God, I pray that you would move us, God, that you would push us into these uncomfortable places in our lives, that we would not be afraid, but that we would be courageous as we step forward into this lost and broken and needy world that needs to hear about you, Lord. Would you give us a sense of urgency that compels us to reach and to love and to bring healing just like you've brought healing to us? We love you and we thank you for who you are. Would you help us? Holy Spirit, would you empower us to do these things? Because we can't do it on our own. We need you, Lord. So would you come and continue to move in and through us? In Jesus' name, amen.